Where were the bank regulators, the Irish edition?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. A jury in Ireland has convicted two former executives of what was once the country's biggest bank, at issue making loans so that the recipients could buy up stock in the bank. Anglo-Irish Bank would later collapse spectacularly, leading to a bailout that bankrupted the Irish government. The bank's former chairman was acquitted in this case, but faces other charges in a new case that could go to trial later this year. Dermot Fleming files for the BBC and others from Dublin.
They were all accused of providing what were illegal loans to 10 of the bank's biggest clients and also six members of the family of Ireland's then richest man, Sean Quinn. Now, Sean Quinn is central to the story because he had secretly built up a stakeholding of around a third of the bank's shares. He was in financial trouble in 2007, but holding such a huge stakeholding in a bank became a matter of massive concern to the bank's management, and they wanted to unwind that. And the scheme they devised was to provide loans to people to take some of the stakeholding. Now, they said in the course of evidence that the regulator here in Ireland was aware of this plan and supported it, because if Anglo-Irish Bank failed, Ireland was in big trouble. The defence said during the case that the regulator here was aware of this and did nothing to stop the deal.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, Dermot, two people get convicted of doing something that Irish regulators knew was going on.
Obviously, the consequences for the two men who've been convicted are serious. They could face up to 5 years in prison. But the wider consequences for how Ireland is regulated are going to go on for quite some time. So there are big questions to be asked as to the nature of regulation here, which will flow from this trial.
Often during boom times, where are the regulators? Things are going so well in the economy that sometimes they take their eye off the ball.
You're absolutely right. There's strong criticism of the kind of regulation there was in Ireland, and this trial seems to have certainly given strong evidence that there was very light regulation and that there was no desire to intervene. The regulator was happy to see this situation unfold because it would mean that the risk to the Irish economy would be removed.
Dermot Fleming files for the BBC from Dublin. Dermot, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Normally at this juncture, we try to check the numbers. On Good Friday, stock markets in Europe are closed. The Nikkei in Japan did go up 0.7%. The Key Stock Index in Seoul, South Korea went up 0.6%. But stock exchanges in the U.S. will be closed today. And here's one more number. Funding for startup companies in the U.S. went up a striking 57% January through March. The venture capital money hasn't flowed like that since 2001. Prior to the dot-com bust, or dot bust as some call it, startup money totaled about $9.5 billion, with software companies getting the most.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at Battelle.org. And by Nuance Power PDF, designed for easy implementation to accurately convert, combine, and collaborate on business documents. Nuance.com/PowerPDF. PDF uncompromised.
From Good Friday services to the Passover Seder and beyond, it's a time of year full of reminders that there's more to life than material things. Now, it turns out some business thinkers have also noticed that we human animals are motivated by more than the threat of getting fired or the promise of a paycheck. Aaron Hurst is an entrepreneur who's written a book called The Purpose Economy. It's about recognizing that many of us want our work to do some good. Mr. Hurst, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So if this is a new era and purpose is guiding us, what are some of the drivers? What is happening that would force us in this direction instead of just, okay, give me the paycheck and I'll worry about what to do with it?
By the end of this decade, 40% of Americans are going to be freelancers. And people, when they're freelancing, need a sense of purpose to give them continuity between projects. That's what the studies show. And then the millennial generation is going to be something like 75% of the workforce within 10 years. And this is a generation where purpose is the core of what drives them. These two things alone are making a huge impact. But they're only, you know, a couple examples out of many of radical changes happening all around us that are making purpose a priority.
Well, give me some examples of companies that are doing this.
Yeah, you see it in a lot of different ways. I mean, you see it, for example, in real estate with things like Airbnb, which is changing the way we stay at hotels. You see it in farmers markets and Whole Foods. Everywhere you go, every industry is starting to change to optimize purpose.
You used to work in Silicon Valley, right?
That's right.
So you're a good person to ask about this.
Uh-oh.
You know, there are people, a lot of them, whose sense of purpose is, I'm going to build an app that's going to disrupt a market segment.
Yep.
Is that enough?
I think it's a question of what that app does. And I think for a lot of people, it provides an amazing sense of purpose for a short period of time. Because that moment where you're building this app, you feel like you're changing the world. The question is, how does it feel the next year?
A year later, does it change the world? But then we have to add, does it change the world for the better? I mean, isn't there somehow implicit in some of this the idea that you're actually making society or something a better place?
You'd hope so. But I think with every economy, there's been positives and negatives, right? The information economy has brought so much good, but it's also brought a lot of challenges. And I don't want to have a Pollyannish opinion about the purpose economy that's all good, because there will be challenges and not everything will be ideal.
Aaron Hurst is an entrepreneur, CEO of a technology platform called Imperative, and author of the book, The Purpose Economy, How Desire for Impact, Personal Growth, and Community is Changing the World. Aaron, thank you.
A pleasure.
And Western Union could soon defriend the biggest of retailers. Walmart has just announced it's going to let customers wire money from Walmart to Walmart at fees that can be half what the competition's been charging. Limit $900. Some places can charge $70 to wire less than a grand. Walmart will charge $9.50 for that kind of transaction. The Federal Reserve calculates that more than 8% of American households are, the term is, unbanked. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
This is going to sound off, maybe, but there's a whole lot of men missing from the workforce.
We're talking about people who ought to be right in the heart of their earnings capacity in their career, and way too many of these folks have just left the job market.
I'm Kai Rizdal. The aftermath of the Great Recession continues next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.